I'm waiting on you to catch up with these young people. Praise his name. If you brought a praise with you, why don't you give it to him? Why don't you stand on your feet and give him your best praise, your best worship? He's worthy. What beautiful young people we have. Just take a time to reflect back over your life in 2022. And think about where the Lord has brought you to this day. How he has navigated your niches through seen and unseen dangers. Bless you not because you're so good, but because goodness is his nature. Goodness is what he gives. Hallelujah. Take a moment to think about your being here is not an accident. It's not a coincidence. But it's by divine providence. Where you are, God brought you. What you have, God gave it to you. What you know, God taught you. Take a moment to just wave your hand, which denote a portion of health and strength. You don't have that strength because you got 8 hours of sleep. But he touched you this morning, and your eyes came open to a new day. And what a joy it is to be alive, alert, and active. For it is in the Lord Jesus Christ we live, move, and have our being. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I thank Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank. Come on, tell him thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I love you. Lord, Lord, I love. Lord, I. Come on, hallelujah, to the top of your voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, hallelujah, one more time. One more time, last time. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Merry Christmas to all of you. Look at somebody, if you will, and tell them Merry Christmas. Come on, look at somebody and tell them Merry Christmas. Good to be in worship one more time. There are a lot of places that shut down today. A lot of worship places that shut down today. But the reason we celebrate Christmas is because of his coming. The reason we are saved is because of his coming. The reason we live, move, and have our being is because of his coming. But he's coming again. He's coming again. Matthew chapter 1. Quickly, we thank God for blessing us to see this most noted day. Day never been and will never be again. Listen, I was meaning a few weeks ago to say something about Sister Thomas. She's a college graduate. Wave your hand, Sister Thomas. The day she graduated, the day after she graduated, she was here singing the Lord praises. What a wonderful soul. And what a commitment to Christ. And we have other college students. But I wanted to recognize her because she could have chose to go somewhere to have a good time. But her good time is in the Lord. Amen. And she's here this morning. So I want thank you for being an example to our young people of how to follow up after a graduation, because the Lord blessed you with that brilliant mind, and you were here to celebrate him. And then we have others here that are on Christmas break, and y'all just wave your hand, college babies, amen, wave your hand, amen, college babies. And then we have any in the audience, college babies, amen, wave your hand. Amen. 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 College babies, thank you for being here today. It's saying a lot about your faith, and you are a light in the world, and certainly shine the light. Matthew chapter 1. Thank God for all of you. My son Titus, our daughter Taylor, they are here with us. Titus drove back from Albuquerque, New Mexico by himself, and he's here. He's finished interning, and thank God for his presence. And then Taylor is here. She's a school teacher, a little school teacher. Amen. Listen, I want to say thank you to all the parents for a wonderful Christmas program at 9. Come on, bless God for our parents. Thank God for our leaders, Sister Kelly and Sister Maddox, and all who worked with them to make sure the program was a success and it was a message to us and to all who would view it via virtual outlets and all of that. So thank God for our parents. Thank God for the leaders. Thank God for our children, our youth, and our young adults. Beautiful this morning. And if you miss them, go back and watch them via sermon audio or YouTube or Facebook. Amen. This is a good reason for you to get on Facebook. Amen. Amen. To see the wonderful job our children, youth, and young adults did on this morning. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Beginning with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, Before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was mindful to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the prophet of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Look at someone, if you will, and say, the promised Savior. Look at another and say, the promised Savior. Help me shout at the virtual audience, the promised Savior. Amen. The promised Savior. The promised Savior. God announced the coming of his son thousands of years before he came. It is in Genesis chapter 3. We see the promise of God's son was spoken thousands of years before Jesus came. Isaiah, prophet, prophesied the coming of Jesus 700 plus years before he came. Michael prophesied that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem about 700 years before he came. It is God who gave the promise, and it is God who provided the Savior. The backdrop of the text, the angel Gabriel appeared unto Joseph because Joseph wrestled with the idea of putting his spouse, wife, Mary away privately. For Mary was found with a child, and Joseph was not the daddy. She was found with a child. It was discovered that she was carrying a bouncing baby boy, and Joseph, her engaged man, her espoused husband, was not the daddy. The Bible says that Mary had not known a man, which means that Mary was a virgin. It was an angelic announcement made to Mary that the Holy Ghost would come upon her and she would conceive a son, and she was to name the son Jesus. And then Joseph discovered that Mary was carrying a child that she conceived of the Holy Spirit, and he was troubled within himself, and he thought about putting her away privately. But here's an angelic announcement made to Joseph to confront and channel his thoughts concerning marrying Mary. Joseph and Mary, they were espoused. They were engaged, and Joseph, he was thinking about putting her away privately. But little did Joseph know that Mary was carrying a baby from God, a child of God, the Son of God. You have to factor in humanity, because Joseph was like some of us. He has certain news as such. And you get to wondering. You get to thinking. You get to trying to figure things out. Trying to make sense of things. And he was troubled, as we would be troubled if our spouse mate said to us she was pregnant by the Holy Ghost. Thank God that this is a one-time occurrence. That this was a one-time occurrence, that we don't have to deal with what Joseph dealt with. We don't have to deal with what Mary dealt with. But thanks be to God that God sent an angel to Mary and Joseph to reveal to them the child she was carrying was a person of salvific purpose. Look at your neighbor and say, he was a person of salvific purpose. Notice the angel informed Joseph that the child was a person of salvific purpose. Verse 21 says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus' name denotes his purpose. The name Jesus means the Lord of salvation. The Lord is salvation. In other words, the child Mary was carrying is the rescuer, the liberator, the deliverer, the emancipator of mankind. It is Jesus and no one else who is the expected Savior. Jesus in his own person, by virtue of who he is and what he came to do, save sinners who believes in him. Jesus and Jesus alone is Savior. It's not Jesus and. It's not Jesus plus. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. John, in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 say, my little children, these things I write unto you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate and aid with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. And not ours only, but also for the whole world. He appeases the wrath of God. He appeases the commands of God so that we avoid the wrath of God. Jesus is the aid. He is the appeasement. He's the advocate. He's the propitiation for our sins. He came to save. He came to save. The word save, sozo, in Greek, which means the present experience of God's power to deliver from the bondage of sin. Sin is a problem. Sin has been a problem ever since Adam and Eve were provoked to act against God in the Garden of Eden, Satan led Eve and Adam to think that sin acting against God would bring blessings. Listen to him. The day you eat, God knows that you will be like him. But he was deceiving them to think that when you act against God, you are blessed. But let me tell you that this appeal of Satan to say to you that if you act against God, you are blessed, was wrong then and is wrong now, because you are never blessed in sin. Sin is bondage. Help me preach this, if you will. Look at somebody and tell them, sin is bondage. Sin is bondage. You are never blessed in sin. And because you think you have gotten away, you have not gotten away. Because judgment delayed is not judgment denied. Your sins will catch up with you. You may think you're getting away with it for years and decades, but listen, sin never pays good dividends. Look at somebody and say, sin is bondage. You're never blessed in sin. Bondage. God, knowing that sin was bondage and is bondage, sent his son to die for us, to save us from our sins. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So the only way the bondage of sin can be dealt with is by the shedded blood of Jesus Christ. It is in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And also, all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Remission is the act of absorbing. It is to justify, to free. It is to let off the hook. So it is because of Christ that we have salvation. Galatians chapter 1 verse 4 says, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present, from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. He came with purpose to deliver us from the penalty of sin. Now, if you don't take time to shout over anything else, you ought to really take time to shout over your deliverance from the penalty of sin. Well, maybe I need to tell you what the penalty is before you get excited. See, the penalty of sin, the pay of sin, is death. Should have, would have, could have been in the grave, but the Lord saw fit to touch us this morning and bless us with a gift, the gift of life. We are breathing, and if you got breath, you're old in praise, because the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Now that you consider what the Lord has done for you, not only has he given you life in the earth, but he has given you life in heaven. That he has provided us salvation. This person given of God is a person of salvific purpose. But secondly, the person given of God is a person of promise fulfilled. Verse 22 says, Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son. Bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He's a promise fulfilled thousands of years, hundreds of years before he came. God had it announced that he was coming. And throughout the centuries, throughout the decades, they were announcing his coming. They were proclaiming his coming. They were saying he would come. And now, according to the text, God was sending his son to fulfill his promise. Now watch God, because God is a God of perfect timing. That he didn't send him out of time. He didn't miss time. He sent him at the appropriate time. So we see the timing of God, the occurrence of Jesus' birth came to pass when God intended for it to come to pass. His birth was not a day late nor a day early. That he came right on time. Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, and we might receive the adoption as son. And because you are son, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a man, then an heir of God through Christ. His birth happened within God's timing. One thing about it, you can't rush God. You can't hurry God. Faith demands patience, the ability to wait on God and persevere while you wait. And he was sent according to God's timing. But then notice the tension of the timing. He sent him during a very tensed time. That he was to be born at a time Mary was a spouse to Joseph. Now it could have happened before the engagement, but God waited until they were pledged to one another. And he sent his son. And the sending of his son at a time of engagement caused tension. Oh. Joseph said within himself, I'm not taking this. He must think I'm crazy. I don't want her to be stoned, so I'm going to have some private putting her away. Because if I expose her, she'll be stoned to death. You remember the woman in John 8? They caught in the very act of adultery. So that means that they brought her into the temple unclothed, because she was caught in the very act of adultery. And while they were dragging her in, they were carrying in stones. Somebody here, you may think God has given you a stone ministry. they were going to stone her to death, and they threw her before Jesus and told him the charge. Jesus stooped down and started writing on the ground and said, "You without sin, cast the first stone." And they all dropped the stone and started walking away. But the charge was, if you were caught in adultery, that by law you were to be stoned to death along with the man, would rid the camp of sin. So Mary, being a spouse to Joseph, Joseph thought about putting her away privately, because the announcement or the reality of what was happening in Mary's life caused tension. Let me tell you something. God has the right to interrupt your life whenever he wants to interrupt your life, however he wants to interrupt your life. Let me say that again. God has the right to come into your life and interrupt your plans, interrupt your life whenever he wants to interrupt your life, however he wants to interrupt your life. But you have to make sure your foundation is right. And evidently Joseph had a foundation, because he heard the angel say, "Don't put her away, but take her to be your wife." And he obeyed. It was a time of tension. But not only did he send Jesus during the spousal period of Joseph and Mary, but he sent Jesus during the time the census was given by the Roman government, that everyone was to go up to their hometown and register. Register. And Mary, pregnant with Jesus, heavily pregnant with Jesus, and Joseph, a spouse to Mary, went on to Bethlehem. Now, the strangest thing is this, that Bethlehem means house of bread. And here it is, the bread of life will be born in the house of bread. God knows what he's doing. Send him on into Bethlehem. And there was no room in the inn for Mary and Joseph. And I think God intended for it to be that way, because lambs are not born in inns. Lambs are born in stables. They were give birth in a time of tension. They went into Bethlehem, and there was no room. It was such a time of tension that the Hebrews thought that God would send an emancipator to deliver them from Roman dictatorship. But he sent him not to deliver them from Roman dictatorship, but to deliver them from sin's penalty. Listen to this now. God does some unexpected things during tension-filled times. Now, I want you to really work that in your spirit, because when tension mount up in your life, I want you to understand that God does some unexpected things during tension-filled times. You remember, it was a tension-filled time when Moses was born, that Herod the king set out a decree to kill all boy babies 2-3 years up or down. And when Moses came, they hid him for months because of the tension. And then they finally put him on the river in a pitch basket. And God sent Pharaoh's daughter to fetch the boy out of the river and take the boy, Moses, as her own. Tension filled time. You remember the economy wasn't right in Egypt. Joseph was sold into slavery. And it was a tension-filled time. And Joseph had wisdom of God to save up the grain, to save much people alive during tension-filled times. Listen, tension-filled time may be, you know, a marital problem. But you have to understand that God works in tension-filled time. Tension-filled time may be economic upheaval. But economic upheaval don't stop God from fulfilling his promise. Marital uncertainties don't stop God from fulfilling his promises. Wayward children don't stop God from fulfilling his promise. God can work in tension-filled time. Things may seemingly be falling apart in your life. You don't know what your next step is. I want you to take a hold of this. God does some unexpected things. Intention, feel, time. He made the promise. Promise was made in a tension-filled time, or fulfilled in a tension-filled time. But the fact that he fulfilled his promise reveals to us that we can trust him. You can trust God when you can't trace him. You can trust God when you can't see the evidence of God's presence in your life. Because God, when he makes a promise, he fulfills the promise. Peter says he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is not slack, meaning that he is not taught. He's not careless. He's not deceitful. When you get into the Word of God, you hang on to the Word of God with all you got. And you start speaking to yourself and saying to yourself and saying to others, it's going to come to pass. God will never bring me to and not see me through. God is going to see me through this. You hang on to the promises of God. When you don't have anything else, when you don't have an encouraging word for somebody, from somebody around you, tap into the Word of God and know that God can be trusted. Help me preach this. Look at somebody and tell them he can be trusted. He can be trusted. He can be trusted. Jesus Christ is the promised Savior. Jesus Christ came during the appropriate time. But Jesus is the last. His coming is the presence of God with us. Now, if y'all didn't feel nothing there, when you're talking about the creator of the universe, when you're talking about the great I am, when you're talking about a way out of no way, you're talking about a bridge over troubled water, you're talking about all of heaven's power with you. He says Emmanuel, meaning God's presence with us. Now, I like this because Emmanuel is found four times in Scripture, in the Word of God. It is found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 8, Isaiah chapter 8, verse 10, and in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. And there are two basic meanings applied to Emmanuel. First of all, in Isaiah 7, verse 14, Isaiah speaks to Ahaz, the king of Judah. Judah, Israel, and Syria were threatened by the Assyrian Empire, which was one of the superpowers of that day. Syria and Israel wanted to form a coalition with Judah in order to oppose the onslaught of the Assyrians. But Ahaz's hesitancy caused Syria and Israel to turn on him to punish him. But when Ahaz heard the news, he feared. And because of that, Isaiah was sent to the king to calm him down, to give him a message of comfort, which is Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah said to him, "If you put your trust in the Lord God would send a sign, and that sign would be a baby, and that child would be born and called Emmanuel." And Ahaz, Emmanuel is the hand of God on us, not just with us, but on us. And I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I'm thanking God that God is not just with us, but his hand is on us. Oh, he's with us, and his hand is on us. But not only does it mean God with us, hand on us, God is not only looking after us and caring for us, but God is planning our great good. God, within the birth of this child, God's very presence had come to physically dwell with us. Emmanuel is God came to dwell in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's with us. And the promise he made is he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He's not like some people in our life, with us sometimes, with us when things are going well. But in the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, the good and the bad, he's with us. And his hand is upon us. His hand of power. His hand of provision. His hand is with us. Protection is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Y'all know what he did when he came in tabernacle. 33 years. It wasn't just God with us and God's hand on us, but it was God for us, because he went to Calvary for us. He let him nail his hands for us. He let him rivet his feet for us. He let him put a crown of thorns on his head for us. He let him raise him between heaven and earth for us. He let him raise him between two thieves for us. He died for us. But good news, he didn't stay dead. He was buried for us. But early Sunday morning, he got up, look at somebody and say, for us. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Everyone to your feet if you will. God with us. God's hand on us. God for us. Thank God for Emmanuel. Listen, as you spend the rest of your day, take some time to Recollect what the Lord has done in sending his only begotten Son. Jesus Christ is the reason for the season, but he's the reason for our salvation. And I wouldn't dare set out on him today, but give him worship and praise, glory and adoration for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. If you're here and you're not saved, come give the Lord your life while the blood is running warm in your veins. Second, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid New Bethlehem on your heart as a church, as a faith family, come. Thirdly, if you're here and you're backslidden, the altar of the Lord is open. You can confess and be restored. Come today by letter, Christian Experience, candidate for baptism. Come. Come. Come on, as the choir minister, come. Come. Come on, the doors of the Lord's house. The Lord said, come. I said, come. Deacon Trustee said, come. Pastor Meredith Walker said, come. Preachers say, come. Choir say, come. Members say, come. The doors of the Lord's house stands ajar. Come on. Hearts and minds clear. Merry Christmas to each of you. May the grace of God, sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus Christ, rest, rule, and abide with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say amen. Be blessed today.